I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in just a minute, so if you want to turn over there, that's where we'll be in just a couple of minutes. I want to start this morning by asking you a simple question. If someone were to walk up to you and say, "What is the Bible?" The simplest answer, what would you give them? It's God's Word, a book of God's Word, right? Well, you know, it is, we think about those things about it being the book, right? The book, God's Word. And we need to realize that within that compilation, that collection, that compendium of knowledge through the years, as over 40 writers, over 800 years, as they put this together, all the incredible things through God's inspiration that came to us, all the power and the wisdom for life that lies within, that is there for us to take a hold of and use on a daily basis, if we only will. And so this morning, I want to take just a few minutes in a little bit, we're going to get into several different verses and share with each other from that compendium of wonder about the power of our God and Father. Starting with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I forgot I have a PowerPoint. And it's not working. You're probably going to have to help me, John. There we go. All right, next one. One more. There we go. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, whoops, did it jump forward on me there? It's still jumping forward. All right. Give him a minute to get back there. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you pray with me, please? God and Father, we come before your throne this morning. Father, truly you are the one and only God. For your existence is proclaimed to us every day in the nature and the world that we live in around us. Father, truly, as we are read to from the Psalms this morning, Father, help us to stop our warring against each other, to be still and know that you are God, so that you may be proclaimed among the nations and across the earth. Father, we pray this morning that you will give us strength and allow us to find wisdom in your word, Father, that it might become a part of our daily lives and that we would be lifted up by it. Father, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Many years ago, our country went through some very difficult times. And I want to share with you a few things from that this morning. And I hope our PowerPoint will come up because it's a great illustration. Technology is wonderful, isn't it? Especially when it works. You know? All right. October the 29th, 1929 is known as what? It became later known as Black Friday, but from October the 29th, 1929. Now you're going to have to give me some interaction this morning. This isn't going to go well. It's known as Black. Anybody remember the day? Tuesday. Black Tuesday. Somebody new. I see heads shaking. Black Tuesday. And I have a picture of a newspaper from you that's really sharp. It looks good. It says Black Tuesday across the top from October the 29th, 1929. So I want you to imagine that for just a moment, okay? This newspaper, and it's up there, right? And it says, Black Tuesday. It talks about the Dow Jones takes over a 500-point nosedive. And the country was thrown into what? The Great Depression. And in the Great Depression, in those first few days, over 9 million people lost all their savings. 14 million people within the United States lost their jobs. And the world that they knew from the years beforehand, where there was probably the lowest unemployment level that's ever been known in America in the early 20s. And they went from that to people starving and living in unbelievable conditions. Banks closed, and people began to look for things to eat that they had never eaten before. If you grew up in the city, it was hard and difficult. If you grew up in the country, it was a little easier because you knew how good squirrel stew could be, right? Or rabbit. And I remember my father talking about relatives of his that were so poor that they would dig earthworms and drop them into cornmeal and let the earthworms eat through the cornmeal, and then they would fry them up and eat them. I don't think our young people realize just how bad the country got at that time. But it was a horrible place to live. And then as dominoes fell around the world, began to see the same effects. And in March of 1933, there was a new president who was inaugurated into office. And his name was? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. FDR, right? FDR. And he used a theme to be elected. Now, later it became the New Deal, right? But the theme that he used to be elected was a very famous song of the time period. And it was, "Happy days are here again." Right? And the people believed in what he was saying at the time. I'm going to try to move forward without any slides here. I have a great video of about 3 minutes of FDR speaking at his inaugural session, right? In March of 1933. Now, when are presidents inaugurated today? What month? January. It began when FDR was inaugurated his third term. It was moved from March to January. A bit of history for us there, right? So now, but before that point, it was March. March was the month. So the lame duck session for the president who was leaving office was much longer to that period. But in March of 1933, he took office, and when he went to the podium, some of his first words went like this. So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is... And we've heard that, haven't we? Now, I had to think about how realistically that statement was pretty ridiculous. It really was. When a child is eating an earthworm filled with cornmeal, fear alone is not his greatest fear, is it? When a mother goes to a cabinet and opens it up and doesn't know or knows by a glance that there is nothing beyond the meal that she's fixing to serve, that fear is a realistic fear. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we've allowed the world to put us in the same place. That fear has overcome us because Christians are, in many cases and in workplaces, it's not politically correct. It's not politically correct to ask people to stop using certain kind of language or not talk about certain things or not watch certain kinds of television shows, not be a part of certain things that are rude and obnoxious by nature. And so we quietly sit back and we allow the world to move around us. And as Christians, we wonder what will happen. How do we find the strength to stand firm, to rise above the crowd that surrounds us?
To speak the truth frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured. Will survive and will prosper. So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance.
What an incredible statement. The nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Is it that in our lives as Christians, that a nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror has paralyzed us from achieving not just the good, but the great things that our God has set before us as a people, as a nation of Christians, and as a congregation of Christians to accomplish? Have we retreated when we should have advanced? Do we retreat when we should advance? I simply this morning want to share with you a few scriptures and then consider this thought again. There's the statement. All right, I'm going to read, and when I get to the red words, I want you to read them aloud with me. Okay? All right, next one, please. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. One of my favorite shows that's ever been on television is a show called The West Wing. And it follows the president and his staff. And one of the things that happens in one of the shows, at one point one of the staff members gets shot and he's dealing with some PTSD. And there's a point where they're discussing an issue and he's talking to the president of the United States and he says, "Mr. President, I cannot help you if you do not listen to me. I need you to listen to me. Why won't you listen to me? If you will listen to me, we can accomplish the things that we need to." And the rest of the staff are looking at him because he has risen and is standing and pointing his finger at the President of the United States as he speaks. And they know that because of his PTSD, he has crossed a line. There's an accountability to his actions for what he had done, even with what he had experienced. And I want us to know and understand that his word is living and powerful, and that it affects our lives. And that someday, because of the power that lies within His Word and lives within us, that we will give an account for the things that we have done or not done. Well, I'm going forward, but it's going backwards. All right, I'm done with that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. That's the part you were supposed to read. But gives us power. Let's start over again because I want you to read it with me. I think it's important as affirmation. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of yourself, of God, by the power of God. Next one. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Next one. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Are you listening? Now is the time for God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, and in hunger. Next one. In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through the glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you, and we are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts. And I wonder if the nameless fear has kept us from loving and living the life that God has inspired us through the power of His Word to do so. The next one. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us a few things? Is that what it says? All things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for you, for me, for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness or peril? No. Or the sword? No. Next one. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. From the love of God, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet we continue to live lives like we don't have the reason to strive as one who conquers. To say that the world and its strength, when they stand against me as a child of God, because of anything I've done? Absolutely not. But because of the power that lives inside of who I am. Because I am a child of the promise of the Almighty God who created the universe, that every day and every moment of life that I take my breath within. Nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And I will stand as a conqueror because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And why is that? The next verse, please. Because 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And sometimes I think we get ourselves lost in the idea, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. And God's word says, stop talking about it just that way. It is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Why do we talk about God's word with those that are lost? Not because it's the words. It's not the talk that makes the difference. It's the power of God's word to change a life. To take a drug addict who starts his mornings by wrapping his arm with a band and pulling back a needle. By the alcoholic who walks into a kitchen and opens a cupboard before he has breakfast and begins to take the cap off the liquor. By the person who, when they rise in the morning, the first thing they do is pick up their phone and start checking Facebook and Twitter so that they can share the gossip before anybody else does. Brethren, there is only one thing that can change a life like that. That is the power of God through His Word. The Word of God and the strength that we find in it as Christians is almost to the point of being mystical. Because those in the world and the way that it can change a life, they cannot understand. And this is who you belong to. This is the God that you have lifted your voice to this morning in praise and adoration and in joy to say that you are my God. How awesome and mighty are you, and I am here to proclaim that your Son gave His life for me and rose again on the third day in life and in power to sit at your right hand. So we are a people who cannot live in fear. Do not retreat from the challenges and the trials that stand before you. Stand firm in every dark hour of your life as a leader of frankness and vigor, meeting every situation with the wisdom and understanding that can come only from our living God. Stand as a conqueror in love and the support that only our Father in heaven can give to you. And when you walk out the doors today of this building, know that life and opportunities will come to you hard and fast. hard and fast, but understand that within you is the wisdom and the power of God's Word to change others' lives and your own, so that you can stand as a conqueror, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to the world that is lost around us. If we can help you this morning by praying with you, surrounding you in love from the Father, if you need to set your life right and begin a new walk with Him by being immersed in Him, with Him in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, there is a life of power and strength waiting for you this morning. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?
Will you be free from love?